Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I welcome back to the show the internet genius, Ben Cope. Ben is a web designer and web developer and an internet marketing consultant who specializes in WordPress sites. He has been a guest on the show before. He's also a very good friend of mine and a valued colleague. You can find him simply by typing in his name on Blog Talk Radio or on your partner in successradio.com. Today, we're going to be talking about WordPress and membership sites or continuity sites. We're going to go in depth, and we have a tremendous amount of ground to cover on this episode. So we'll cover as much as we can in the hour available to us. And then we will invite you to a free teaching webinar on the subject at the end of the show. There are no strings attached. It's just a better learning format for those of you who need to know more about setting up a membership site, why you should set one up, and what's in it for you. So good morning, Ben, and welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again on the show. I always look forward to our chat, as I like to call them, less of an interview, more of a conversation. So thank you for inviting me again.
Well, you're always a valued guest. I have to tell you, when I go back and I look at my stats for the shows, yours always rank at the highest.
No, thank you.
Have I ever told you that before?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, shame on me. Anyway, so listen, this is a huge topic. I mean, I think it's a very, very important topic. So I'm just going to let you dive into it. I know that people are very, very interested in the benefits of building a membership site. Excuse me. The weather here is killing me. One day, I may change clothes four times in a day. I'm layer dressing or I'm unlayer dressing. I have shoes on. The next hour, I have socks and boots on. It's crazy, and it's affecting my voice. So before we get started and go too deep into it, tell people a little bit about you and where they can find you on the web.
All right. Well, I am found on the web at internetgenius.com, or you can connect with me on Facebook by going to bencope.me, and that will take you to my Facebook profile, and I would love to connect with everyone. I have been building websites for about 10 years now. I'm an entrepreneur. I worked 4 years at a major university in the metro Atlanta area, and then I stepped out to go full-time on my own in 2006, and I've been running nonstop ever since. So when I first discovered WordPress, I was amazed at the capability and the potential. And back in the early days of WordPress, there were no such things as sidebar widgets, and there were not quite as many themes that are available now. But what I loved about WordPress is that it put the power of site ownership into the customer's hands. So as a web developer, being able to build a website for somebody and then turn the keys over to them so that they could manage their own website themselves, that for me was the number one reason for using WordPress. It really does empower business owners, speakers, authors, entrepreneurs to manage their own website with relative ease. You don't have to know HTML. You don't have to be a programmer. And with a little bit of help from a technical expert like yourself or a web designer, you could easily set up your own membership website using WordPress. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today.
And I love what you just said about being able to hand over the keys. I have the same philosophy when I work for my web development clients. I will never, ever, ever hand over the keys to a site that is not turnkey ready. I never turn it over and say, hey, thanks for the payment. Good luck. God bless. You know,
right.
I make sure that they know how to work in it, that they know that we're always there for maintenance or for upgrades or whatever they need. And, you know, you're right. It does empower them to not have to go, Ben, Denise, Billy Bob, can you update my website, and then wait 2 or 3 weeks for that to happen. It's a remarkable platform.
Indeed, it is. And I think with WordPress, running a membership site has never been easier. Even 5 or 6 years ago, it was complicated to set up. You had to hire a programmer to install all the scripts and to protect the directories, and tying in your membership with a payment option, it was just a headache. But with WordPress and the right set of plugins or tools, anyone can set up a membership site. It's just a matter of starting with WordPress, installing a plugin, and then adding content. And then you turn everything on and you start promoting and inviting members. And as your community grows, you have a successful membership website. But there are really 4 major reasons or benefits for starting a membership website. And these apply to having a website at all in the first place. But having a membership website takes it even a step further. The number one reason for building a membership website is to build credibility. It establishes you as an expert or an authority on your topic. It gives people a place to come and connect with you and feel like they are a part of a community. And people join membership websites really for 2 major reasons. Number one, they want to learn something. They want to grow and build on their knowledge base. And the second reason is because they want to feel connected. They want to feel like they're a part of a community. And a membership website is a great way to offer that to your existing customers, as well as to reach out and expand your customer base and attract new clients and customers. So number one reason for building a membership website is to establish that expertise. The second reason for having a membership website is so that you can create relationship with your customers. Study after study has shown that it's 10 times easier to sell something to an existing customer than it is to attract a new client or a new customer. And having a membership website that's built around community makes people more likely to come back to you. They're going to be better customers, you're going to have higher loyalty, and you're going to be able to build your brand around that community. And the third reason for having a membership website is that it keeps you current. Even if you're an expert in your field, if, for example, I've been working in WordPress for many, many years now, but it's constantly changing and evolving. Updates come out, new plugins come out, new things become available. And having a website, a membership website, around whatever your topic of expertise is, forces you to stay on top of your industry. You've got to know what's new, what's coming out, what's changing. And it kind of forces you to pay attention to what's going on in your industry.
Keeps you honest, doesn't it?
It sure does. and then the fourth major reason for having a membership site is that it allows you to expand your customer base. So not only are you able to create relationships with your existing customers, but it also gives you a way to reach out to other people. And it gives your existing customers a way to share that business relationship with the people that they know and to invite their friends. And I know we're going to talk about the different types of membership models, because there are a lot of different ways to build a membership website. And certainly one way is to have an affiliate program that allows your members to receive a commission for new referrals. So when they refer somebody else that joins the membership community, you're able to reward them with a commission or free products or some type of bonus. So a membership website allows you to reward your existing customers, but it also allows you to attract new customers also.
That brings up a question, Ben, and I think this can go either way. It depends on your business model. But to me, if I'm going to have an affiliate program within a membership site, I probably only want it open to the members, because they can speak honestly and clearly about what the benefits are.
Exactly. Your best advocate for your existing clients, especially the happy ones, right?
That's what I would think. I mean, that's always been my idea for a business model, but I do see a lot of, you know, people who will take their membership sites and then put them on ClickBank. Now, the ones who succeed at doing this are very big names with great reputations. But
right. My
thinking, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, is that if you don't have that big name yet, you don't have that widespread reputation, and I'm thinking of Ryan Lee and, you know, people like that, is it a good idea to just open it up to anybody to become an affiliate? Because how can they possibly speak to your product or the benefits or whatever, you know, if they can't give a heartfelt testimonial, I don't think they should be selling your product.
Right, and that's probably true. And I think one of the major mistakes that I think people make when starting a membership website is to do it purely for the revenue. Yes,
right.
Membership websites are a great way to generate passive income. They're a great way to expand that monthly cash flow and to leverage your time because you're able to reach a lot more people in a shorter amount of time. But creating a membership website should never just be about the revenue. I think an important thing to keep in mind when building a membership website is that you should always focus on keeping members rather than getting new members. And this is really important to remember. People come to your website for the content, but they stay for the community. And so if you're focused only on how much revenue you can generate through an affiliate program, then you've got your focus in the wrong place. Instead, you need to focus on the content, making it high-quality, informative, valuable information. And when you do that, I think your members will spread the word about how great the community is, and it will happen naturally. You don't have to force it. You don't have to seek out these big-name affiliate marketers. So definitely pay attention to creating quality content rather than simply setting up a program that you think you can turn it on and suddenly start generating thousands of dollars in revenue.
And I think that's such an important point, because if you're going to have a community site, which is what, really, that's what a continuity site or a membership site is, I don't think that you want to invite everybody and anybody into it. You want people who want to be there. They need to be there. They're learning from you. They're communicating with other members. They're growing and evolving. I've got a Facebook group that, you know, it's a virtual assistance group on Facebook, and it's a free group, but let me tell you, it is vibrant. People are in there, they're helping each other. It's an amazing group. And to me, that's the business model that I would want for a membership site, that people can communicate, they can share ideas, they can assist one another, they can console one another, they can go
yep.
woohoo when one is needed. To me, it's a community. So trying to get high-quality people in there who are passionately interested in what it is that, you know, you're sharing, obviously, your business marketing of some kind. And, I mean, if they are just so interested in what you're doing, they're going to bring people along with them.
Exactly.
Just because they're learning so much. So they're your warm market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how much content? Well, keep going about the choosing the membership model, because there's so many different ways that you can craft a membership model. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
There really are a variety of ways to create a membership website. And building a site, a membership website, requires a lot of thought up front. You need to decide on the model that you're going to use. And so I'm going to throw out a couple of different ideas and options. You can think about what would work best in your industry, and then you can start putting together a plan for launching a membership website. So you want to start with that membership model. So the first model for a membership website is to make it completely free. And you might ask, well, why would you have a membership website that requires people to log in order to access protected content, but you're not charging them for it? The reason why a free model can still be an effective revenue generator in a business is because it's all about the community. you're building a community of fans, your tribe, as Seth Godin would call it, around a particular topic. And when you grow your fan, when you grow your fan base, your tribe gets larger, then you're able to sell products on the back end. You might not charge somebody up front to join the community, but you might offer affiliate products or recommend products through an affiliate link, and you're still able to generate revenue that way. So free doesn't always mean that you're not going to make money in the long term. But again, keep in mind that a membership website isn't just about generating the revenue. It's also about building that community, building that brand, that loyal customer base. So a free model is an example of a membership website. The second type of membership model is where you go from a free membership to a paid membership. An example would be a 7-day free trial that automatically turns into a monthly subscription at the end of 7 days. So you're giving people a way to get a taste, a feel for the community, and then at the end of that trial period, unless they cancel their membership, it automatically rolls over into a monthly continuity membership or an annual subscription, however you decide to set it up. And then, of course, there's the paid membership model where you're charging members a monthly or an annual fee to be a part of the membership website. There's also a membership model where you can sell content individually, pay for access. That would be ideal for delivering digital products. You could, for example, have a single product that you're selling, but rather than selling the product, taking the payment, and then sending them straight to the download, you sell the product, and the thank you page takes them to your membership website where they create a username and password, and then they're able to download the product. That's a good way to prevent people from sharing your download links with other people because you're putting it behind a password-protected member area. So pay-for-access membership model is also a way to create a membership website. And then yet another model would be a coaching model. That would be where you're giving specific clients their own login and password to access resources or files or documents. A coaching website would be ideal for somebody that has a coaching business. It's perfect for somebody with 10 to 30 clients. It allows you to create a common area that all of your clients are able to log into and access materials, but it also allows you to create individual pages for each of your clients so that you have a way to personalize that coaching experience. So that the coaching model would be another type of membership site that you could set up.
Right. And those are all really great ideas. Go back to the pay-per-access just a bit. I think what a lot of people may not think, they'll think, well, I've only got one report. Why would I want to do that? Seems like an awful lot of work to set it up. Here's the thing. There are two benefits, I believe. One is that you now have their email address and you can market to them because they've given you permission. The second is you now have the opportunity to upsell within the membership site. Once you have new products or you have affiliate links or something that you want to market to them, you can now do so with, of course, you don't want to overdo it. But if it's something that you think they really would be interested in, you can now upsell.
Exactly.
So there are a lot of benefits to have. I mean, yeah, as you say, there's just so many different ways that you can have a membership site. Now, this question comes up all the time because, as you know, I build these sites, you build these websites. And the first thing, the panic client says, how much content do I need? And you can just hear it in their voice, like, oh, my God. Now, some clients already have it. It's well laid out. They know where they're going. A lot of them don't. So kind of take the edge off of that. How much content does somebody need to have in the queue before they open their doors and launch?
It really depends on the frequency of the publishing, how regularly they're planning to publish. And this goes back to the planning stages of your membership site. Decide up front exactly how much content you're going to be putting out and on what frequency. So once a week, once a month, twice a week, whatever that is. And as a general guideline, you should have at least 2 weeks of content ready to go before you launch the membership site and open up the doors. And you also need to keep in mind that you're going to have to continue creating content on an ongoing basis. So you either need to have that content ready to go at least 2 weeks in advance every time you get ready to publish. So if you're publishing every single week, then you need to have the next 2 weeks of content ready to go. And keep in mind that running a membership website, you need to take into account holidays and vacation, and certainly don't overwhelm yourself with a schedule that you're not able to keep up with. So 2 weeks is generally sufficient. If you'd like a little more breathing room, maybe make 3 or 4 weeks of content ready to go, and then try to get ahead of yourself along the way. There are so many different ways to generate content that it's insane. And there are ways to generate a single piece of content and then repurpose that content in another format. An example of that would be, for example, this interview that we're doing right now. It's a Blog Talk Radio podcast interview, but it could very easily be transcribed and turned into a PDF report or posted as a blog post. The same thing can happen with videos. If you're shooting a video, you can have the video transcribed, turn it into a free report or an article or even multiple articles, but you could also have just the audio portion and make that available as a standalone product. So there's so many ways to take the exact same content and repurpose it in a variety of different formats. And I think, you know, creating content does not have to be as hard as people make it out to be. I think we all know more about something than other people do, and we take for granted that we have so much information. But when you start talking with people, when you start interacting with your community, your members, you'll find out what it is that they're trying to learn, what they need to. They'll tell you. If you listen as the site owner, managing the website, if you're asking for feedback from your members, you'll never run out of content because there will always be something else that they need to know or want to know. And if you give them an easy way to provide feedback and you ask questions of your members, you'll never run out of ideas for fresh content. You just have to make sure that you've got enough in the queue so that, you know, that Friday deadline doesn't come and, oops, I forgot to get, you know, content ready.
Right. And that leads me to a couple of different thoughts. And number one is we need to talk about dripping content, but the other is what you just said about asking questions and listening to the heartbeat of your community. I do this all the time in my Facebook group. You know, it's a lot of VAs in there. There's a lot of virtual professionals in there. And I'm often startled by what they don't know.
Right.
And I
You're
guess
right.
because I think I know what everybody else knows, it, which on the face of it is absurd. But you, they'll ask a question. I'm like, whoa, really? And then I answer it. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. But here's the thing. Like you said in the very beginning of the show, things change so much so quickly. On the internet, I mean, you go to bed one night and you know Hootsuite, the next day they've changed their platform. You have to stay on top of it. You have to constantly be educating yourself and asking questions in groups like mine or a continuity site like the one that I'm building that gets you the knowledge that you need to either find out what's going on in changes or find out for the first time what the heck it is. So, you know, I am a fan of people asking questions. Sometimes they startle me, and then I find them very interesting because, wow, that's, you know, I can teach that. That's good for me to know. Now I know what I can teach next week.
Right. I think, you know, communication is such a critical element of running a successful membership website.
Mm-hmm.
And the communication needs to be two-way. Not only do you need to set the expectation up front, when you're inviting people to join your membership site, your community, you need to let people know what's going on. Involve your members. Send out regular emails to stay in touch with your team.
Right.
But you also need to receive feedback from your members. Ask them, what's going on? How can I improve the membership site? What do you want to learn about? What would be of interest to you? So involving your members is extremely important when it comes to retaining members, building that community so that it becomes stronger and better.
And there are no wrong questions, and I find this in my VA group. Even though some of these questions will startle me, I have to step back and say, well, they're just beginning. So good for them. They are out there. They're asking the right questions. I'm proud of them. I really am. Now, one thing that I have noticed, and we've talked about this in the past, when continuity sites kind of burst onto the scene a few years ago, so many of them failed. And one of my observations at the time when I was watching these things fail, I belonged to one or two of them. And my big gripe with them was that they were taking my money every month, and they had set it just low enough to where I didn't really notice it. So I didn't care that it was coming out of my credit card, but I was not hearing from them. And once, you know, I would look at my credit card statement and go, what am I paying for? Wait a second. Yep. They're not staying in touch with me. I'm not getting any information. I don't remember to go log in because I didn't remember I was paying for the darn thing. So communication from a membership site owner is critical.
It's absolutely critical. And, you know, if your members don't feel connected to the community, then they're far less likely to stick around. There are a lot of ways to build that connection. We were talking a moment ago about what types of content do you put on a membership website. One example of content that you can put out on your site that will increase the connection between your community members are case studies. Take somebody that's in your community that you can use as a case study. Interview them. Do a Skype interview and post the video, or just do a written interview. Ask them questions and then post the answers on the site. When your members feel connected to your membership website, they're far more likely to stick around. And the more, again, the more involvement you have, the more people are going to feel like they're a part of the community and they're going to stick around. So you always need to keep your finger on the pulse of your members. Find out how you can showcase or put them in the spotlight. Let them share their own stories. If you have a training or tutorial website, for example, do a monthly case study with one of the members and let them share their story. Hey, I followed your advice, I implemented your strategies, and these are my results. Because that creates, not only is it build even more credibility, but it can be motivation to your other community members that, hey, this stuff works. And again, it's all about keeping that connection with your members, which is so important to building a thriving community.
It really is, because they came to you to begin with because they perceive you to be an expert. So you can't just draw them in and say, hey, thanks, and then just leave them on their own. You have to be in touch with them, I think, at a personal level. You have to be available to chat with them if needed. You have to jump in there constantly and, you know, help out where you can help out. You need to be able to ask other members to help other members. I mean, you have to be there. You have to be present. You have to be involved, and you have to be passionate about what you're doing. If you're just putting up content but you never show your face, you're going to bleed customers. I mean, it's just going to happen.
Right. Yes, a lot of people have the misconception that, oh, I've got this whole training program, and I'm just going to turn it into a 16-week course and put it up online, and magically members are going to appear, and I'll, you know, build this whole membership website, and it will be fully automated. I think it's a misconception to think that you can build a thriving community on a fully automated setup. On some level, you've got to be in there nurturing the membership site. You've got to stay on top of updates to WordPress and the different plugins that are available. You've got to pay attention to your marketing, find better ways to promote your site in social media like Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest. You can't, honestly, in my opinion, create a website, turn it on, and then just let it do all the work for you. To a certain degree, there are ways to automate parts of the process, But at the end of the day, as a site owner, you've got to be in there nurturing the site. You've got to make sure that you stay on top of changes that are occurring. There's only a certain level of automation that you can do, in my opinion. Because if you don't pay attention to it, eventually it's going to suffer. You'll lose members, they'll drop out, and you're not going to have a thriving community.
Not only that, but you will gain a bad reputation.
That's right.
I was in a membership site very briefly where, and I was invited in, so I went in at a free level. The feedback in there was not good towards the site owner. And here's the sad thing. The site owner didn't even know it. You know, there was a little revolt going on in the background there, and nobody was paying attention. And I actually alerted the site owner. I said, you need to log in and see what's going on. There's some ugly stuff going on in there.
That's right. So you need to make sure that you're involved in the site. Make sure that your members can easily send you an email, and also that you respond personally to that email.
Right.
You let them know, hey, I'm listening. I heard your question, and this is what I'm going to do to make it right, or this is what I'm planning for next month to address those issues. Yeah, exactly. You've got to nurture that community and make sure that there's room for feedback. Tie in with an autoresponder. I talked about that you can do a certain level of automation. Here's an excellent idea. If you're offering a 30-day trial for a membership website and then it rolls over into a paid subscription, you've got to communicate with the members over that 30-day period. So if you send out one email per week that are scheduled through an autoresponder, these can be pre-written emails that automatically go out to the person that has links that bring them back to your website to consume the content, they're going to be far more likely to stick around. And it's the same concept of the free sample when you're at a grocery store or a wholesale club and you take that free sample. Anytime that you consume something, even if it's just one small bite, it creates a sense of the need to reciprocate. Oh, I'm going to buy that because I feel guilty that I've taken even a bite.
Oh.
So if you have a membership website and you're offering a trial, the whole idea during that 30-day trial or however long it is should be to get people to come and actually join and jump into the site, because when they do that, it creates stickability, and they're going to be far more likely to stick around if they've consumed content. And, of course, if the content is good and quality, then they should naturally want to stick around.
So,
again, it's all about keeping your members engaged. And an autoresponder is a great way to do that, to send out an email automatically on a predefined period, like once a week, for example.
Right. And here's the thing, too, if I saw this in the early days of these membership sites, if you have not heard from the site owner at all and you're on one of these programs where you've got the 30-day free and then you roll over to paid, all of a sudden that thing hits your credit card and you're saying, whoa, buddy, back it up and
right.
take it out. It's just, it doesn't make sense, and I saw it so many times. But it's a critical thing to do. If you are marketing a business, if you're marketing in any way, shape, and form, and that is what a business, a membership site is, you are marketing something. You're educating, you're teaching, but you're marketing at the same time. You have to be very cognizant of how people are going to receive or not receive your materials. You can't just take their money and take them for granted.
That's right. And I mean,
they're there for a reason.
My philosophy is on membership site and business in general, is that you should always over-deliver.
Oh, yeah.
Don't hype things up so much that people join, and then suddenly they realize, there's nothing really here. Instead, market the best stuff, put out the best stuff on the sales page, and promote your best content. Get them into the membership site, and then surprise them with a free bonus, an unadvertised bonus, something they weren't expecting, that now they got. And so that creates such a sense of excitement. Oh, my gosh, I thought I was going to get this amount of value, but I actually got even more value because there's a ton of stuff in here that I didn't even know I was going to get.
Right.
I think that's a really great model. You should always have any membership website. I think you should offer added value in the form of free bonuses or things that they weren't expecting that you were able to deliver.
Absolutely.
And that, again, it creates a sense of expectation among your members. When you
it
send
does.
Out a reward, something free that they weren't expecting,
right.
Your members will love you for it.
Well, down here we call it, you know, I live in the deep south, we call that lagniappe. It's that, you know, the baker's dozen, that extra, that little extra
right.
something. And it just shows appreciation, and everybody likes to be appreciated. But let's back up just a step and talk about dripping content. Some of our
mm-hmm.
listeners may not understand what that is. Can you explain to them what it is and why they might want to do it?
Yes, and this goes back to the different membership models. Of course, if you have, let's say you have a 16-week program that you are making available, you know, one new module every week. If somebody signs up for your course and you make all 16 weeks available, then they could easily log in, get all 16 weeks, download everything, and then cancel.
Mm-hmm.
When you drip content, it means they can only get week one content during that week one period of their membership. They can't get to week two until they've been a member for at least 7 days. And then as soon as that 7-day period passes, then suddenly week two module, the week two material becomes available, and they have access to week one as well as week two. This is extremely, works extremely well for sites that are broken down into modular content, whether it's weekly or monthly or however. You may not want to give people access to everything all at once. Again, that keeps members engaged. It keeps them looking forward to the next week's content. There's a plugin. The industry standard for membership websites using WordPress is a plugin called Wishlist Member. And the Wishlist Member plugin allows you to do something called sequential upgrade, which means that after a predefined amount of time, their level of membership automatically rolls over into the next level, and then the next level after that. That's called sequential upgrade. So you might have a membership website that has 16 weeks worth of content. When somebody joins, they get access to week one.
Right.
Then Wishlist Member can be set up so that after 7 days, they automatically get upgraded to the week two content, and so on, until they've reached the end of the membership. So that's what dripping content means. You're sending it out not all at once, but over a certain period of time on a regular basis.
Right. And it also prevents overwhelm. There's nothing worse than getting into a site that has everything wide open. You go, oh my gosh, where do I start? I mean, you just don't know where to start.
Yeah.
So let's go back to membership best practices.
What mm-hmm.
And I think we've covered a lot of it, but if you can just give us a quick rundown.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I just mentioned the plugin that I recommend for building a membership website is called Wishlist Member. There are other membership plugins available. None of them come close to what Wishlist Member can do, in my opinion. I've worked with other membership plugins and software, and I've been frustrated as a result. Wishlist Member is a premium plugin. You have to pay to get a license for that plugin, but it does the job extremely well. It has so many features. It has its own community of developers and fellow membership site owners who are constantly making it better and improving it and putting out new plugins and tools that are extending the things that it can actually do. So start with Wishlist Member. Pay attention to the number of plugins that you have on your website. Because your site, your membership website, is running on WordPress, all of the plugins that are available for WordPress will work with your membership website, but you have to always ask yourself if you're actually using all of the plugins that you have active, because one potential problem is having too many plugins active at the same time. having that actually slow down your website. It makes the pages load slower, and that creates a bad experience all the way around. On the other hand, there are a lot of plugins for WordPress that enhance your membership site. For example, if you want to have a forum that allows members to post and interact with one another on their own, a really good plugin for that is called SimplePress. It's a free plugin that you can download and install on your WordPress website, and you can protect that forum page using Wishlist Member so that it's not open to the public. Make sure that you are backing up your website regularly, and this is even more important for a membership website because you've got people paying you monthly or yearly to have access to that content. And the last thing you want to have happen is have several hundred members on a site, all of a sudden everything crashes and it's gone. Make sure that you're backing up your website. There are a lot of free ways to do that. One plugin that does a really good job is called Updraft Plus. That gives you the ability to send your backups to a remote destination like an Amazon S3 account or a Dropbox account. The key is to make sure that you've got a backup and also that you verify that the backup is working, because it's not any good to have a backup, but then things go bad and then you try to restore it from the backup and you figure out, uh-oh, it wasn't really backed up after all.
Only partially. Oh, gosh, yeah.
You're looking at a backup plugin, make sure that you're backing up not only the database, the WordPress database, but also make sure that your backup solution is backing up plugins and uploads as well. So when you're posting blog posts that include images or links to PDFs or other documents, those files need to be backed up as well. And a lot of the backup solutions only back up your database, but they don't back up the uploads. So make sure that your backup solution covers the other files as well, not just your database.
I know you wrote a great blog post about plugins yesterday. It's on your website. I strongly suggest, I urge our audience to go read that blog post. I mean, there's some great plugins there, and Ben does a very thorough job of describing what they do. So go to internetgenius.com and grab that blog post. What is the title of it, Ben?
I believe I called it the Top 10 Must-Have WordPress Plugins.
Yeah. It's a good one. Okay, so I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Okay, so definitely start with those 10 must-have WordPress plugins. You'll find the Updraft Plus backup plugin among that list. You'll find a number of other plugins that are really great as well. Those are the plugins that I install on nearly every website that I set up, and I consider them to be essential on nearly every WordPress site. Certainly a membership site would be no exception. But let's talk about a couple of plugins that are unique to membership websites. There are different plugins that allow you to control what gets displayed for your members so that regular site visitors see one thing, but members who are logged in see something completely different. An example of a plugin like this is called Widget Control. This is a plugin that allows you to change the menu bar for members who are logged in. So in your regular menu bar, you might include a link that says Member Login. When they click it, it takes them to a login page. As soon as they log in, the menu bar can change so that it displays all of the protected membership content and provides an easy way for members to navigate through your site. So it's called Wishlist Widget Control. Another plugin, there's a plugin that allows you to control the sidebar content. There may be things that you want to put in the sidebar of your website, but you only want those sidebar pieces to be visible to members who are logged in. There's a plugin that allows you to do that as well. Let me see. I'm looking at my list. There are plugins that allow your members to share the content with other people. it's a great way to attract new members to your site. And a really good question, how much teaser content should you provide?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, one really good way to attract new members is to post an article and then have something additional that enhances the article itself. Maybe it's a how-to video that is only available to members. So the article itself would be available for free. Anybody can come and read the article, and it's got really valuable, helpful information. But, oh, by the way, at the bottom of the article, you've got a link that says, hey, you know, members or insiders can get access to a members-only video. And then you've got a link to join your membership site. So having
a
bonus
report or something.
Content. Exactly. So giving away a little bit of content is, I highly recommend it. Not only does it give people a sample of the type of content they can expect in the members area, but it kind of whets their appetite a little bit and makes them more likely to become a member because they're able to see the type of content that you provide for free, and it makes them think, oh, if he's giving away this stuff for free, then what's in the membership site has got to be even better. So I think, you know, teaser content can be a great method for letting people know what's on the inside.
Now, for people who don't know what we mean by, you know, giving free information, that's largely blogging, isn't it? I mean, you're blogging on there, you're putting out a lot of great information, but you're also wanting to lead back into the membership site wherever possible.
Exactly. Writing great content not only will help you in the search engines, but it will also allow you to build credibility and to give away good, valuable information that ultimately is to drive people into wanting more, joining the membership site, for example.
And this kind of goes back to what we were saying at the top of the show about a really great membership site cannot be automated. It cannot be fully automated. You have to be developing content that is free, that is open to the search engines. You have to be blogging. You have to be writing articles. You have to be sending traffic to that website in every way you can, through social media, through Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest. I mean, you've got to do whatever you can to drive traffic to that thing. So just sticking it on autopilot, it's not going to do you any good.
Right. I think, you know, again, certain parts of the whole setup can be automated. But including the marketing and the promotion, you need to have a game plan put together. Make content freely available on Facebook. Post links back to your best blog articles. You've got to have exposure. And if people aren't talking about what you have to offer, if they're not sharing your articles on Facebook and Twitter and with others by word of mouth or however, then your membership site's going to be a big flop. It's not as simple as, well, if I just build it, they'll come. You've got the second component is you've got to promote it. You've got to put it out there and make it attractive so that people want to come check it out.
And one thing, membership sites, to me, should be fun. I mean, they should be a place where you go to learn, obviously. I mean, a membership site, I think by definition, or, you know, just to try to describe one, is you're solving a problem for people. You're educating people. You're giving them information that they may not have had before. And you're doing it in a very linear way. You know, you're getting them education that makes sense. You're providing them with maybe ongoing education or advice or tips, whatever it is that they're looking for, whatever reason they had to join your site, you're providing that. But to me, Ben, there has to be an element of fun and lightness and camaraderie. It can't just be, okay, today we're going to be talking about Pinterest, blah, 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 blah. And then the next one is today we're going to be talking about Google Plus and step one through step Z or B or whatever it is. And there's no fun. There's no personality involved. And let's face it, people come to us because they like us. They like what we're doing. They like the information we put out. And at some level, today in social media marketing being what it is, they have to like you as a person as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Making your website, membership site, fun is a critical factor to retaining members. The five keys to building a thriving community, these come directly from Stu McLaren. He's the co-founder of Wishlist Member, the industry standard for membership plugins. He has five keys to building a thriving community, which we've talked about today, but it starts with content. Creating high-quality, good content is the number one thing. People come for your content. When you make your membership site fun, they stay for the community. So number one, content. Secondly, communication, which we talked about, making sure that you let people know what's going on, what they should be expecting. You're emailing them regularly. You're staying connected with them through social media. You're posting videos. Number three is connection. People want to feel connected, either to you as the content creator, or they want to feel connected to other members that are part of the community. So building a membership website that makes them feel comfortable, that builds the bond not only between you as the expert and your members, but also the bond from one member to the other, creates a sense of connection. The fourth key, according to Stu McLaren, is contribution. Letting members contribute to the community, the more they feel like they're a part of it, the more involvement there is, the more likely that they're going to stick around. So contribution is one of the critical factors to building a thriving community. And then lastly, the fifth key is collaboration, working with your members to build something together. And, you know, when you can collaborate with your members on your next product, for example, you might put out a product that includes five case studies of some of your clients. So you're working with those clients to put together the case study, and then you put it together in the form of a product, an ebook or a video series or a series of blog post articles or guest interviews. When you collaborate with your members to actually create the content, they're going to be far more likely to stick around and show loyalty to you as the content creator. An example of that would be Apple. You know, they make the iPhone, but they also collaborate with people and allow them to develop their own apps. So Apple provides the platform, the iPhone itself or the iPad, but they open it up to collaboration, allowing other people to contribute their own ideas, their own apps. And so what that does is it creates this raving fan base that feel like they're a part of what other way to call it is a cult, you know, the cult of Mac.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense because if you have a community, listen to the word community. It's not you standing in front of a chalkboard saying, okay, this is what we're going to talk about today. It's not that at all. I mean, you're really creating a community. And a collaborative community, to me, is best because you learn and you share, you help each other out. And to me, that's just the way to go.
Right. You got it.
So now, you know, the next question that's going to come up for people who are listening is, okay, that's great. I have some good ideas. I have a very fair idea of what I want to do and how it's done. Now, how do I accept payments on this thing?
That's a good question. There are a lot of ways to take payments through a membership website. And one of the benefits of the Wishlist member plugin is that it integrates with all of the most common payment gateways, including PayPal, including Authorize.net or One Shopping Cart, and even ClickBank. You can take payment through the ClickBank. Now, the degree of difficulty for setting up each one of those different payment options, some of them are going to be easier than others. It might be easier initially to sell your membership through a PayPal subscription. But you might find that it's more beneficial if you take payments, for example, through ClickBank. There are pros and cons to using PayPal, just like there are pros and cons to using ClickBank for payment. For example, one of the benefits of using ClickBank for payments is that ClickBank handles everything, and they just send you a check, you know, once every 2 weeks or once a month, depending on whatever your payment threshold is. But they also handle the payment of affiliate. So it takes a level of stress off of you when it comes to chargebacks and refunds, which hopefully you won't have very many of.
Right.
But that would certainly be one reason to use ClickBank to accept payments if you have an affiliate membership site. The easiest solution would be probably to use PayPal. All it requires is a PayPal account. You have to configure the settings so that wishlist member or your WordPress site can communicate with PayPal when a payment is received. There are just a few simple steps that you have to do to enable that communication, and it's not very difficult at all to do. It's hard to explain or describe verbally on a phone call, but certainly if we do a follow-up webinar, it's something that we could show people.
Yeah, we'll go over that in the webinar, absolutely. Now, one thing that I do notice with Wishlist Member is that it doesn't really play well with Infusionsoft. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that if you're running a membership website using Infusionsoft, there's a whole separate plugin that works better for that than Wishlist Member. It's called Infusion WP. It is beyond the scope of what we can cover. It does integrate with WordPress, but just like Infusionsoft is very robust and complex, it's got a very high learning curve to make it work. But I have seen, and I have clients who use a plugin specifically for Infusionsoft in creating membership websites. But I think for the vast majority of small business owners that want to create a membership website, unless they already have an Infusionsoft account, signing up for one doesn't make sense just to create a membership website.
No, it's expensive and you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, if you're going to use Infusionsoft, which is an excellent tool for combining your payment and your payment solution and your customer manager all
mm-hmm.
into one, your autoresponder, it's all combined into one solution. It makes sense to have somebody on your team that knows Infusionsoft inside and out and that
right.
you can rely on to help you with all the technical details.
Yeah, I use Infusionsoft, and there's a learning curve. You have to really dedicate yourself to learning the system or find somebody on your team who's great at it. Or
right.
both. Or both. Okay, so before launching, okay, so let's assume, and we've got just a couple more minutes. Let's assume that we've got all of this in place. Now we're ready to launch. What are the first things that you have to do? I know you have to test.
Yeah, you've got to make sure that you've got at least that initial content ready to go. Make sure that you test your payment solution from start to finish. Have a friend sign up using their credit card and either create a coupon code that makes the membership $1 or whatever. But you want to run through the entire process, starting with from the moment somebody clicks sign up now, all the way through to when they create their username and password and log into the members area. Make sure that the content you thought is supposed to be protected, make sure it's actually protected. Make sure
that's a biggie.
Well, if you have multiple membership levels, make sure you've got the right protection turned on for each membership level. Testing is extremely important because the last thing you want to have happen is launch your site and then on launch day suddenly you've got all these technical problems that you didn't expect. And if you test it up front, including the payment integration, then you should be good to go.
I think especially the payment integration.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that really needs to work. But you need to be able to make sure that you're getting the autoresponder messages, that the content looks the way you thought it was going to look. I mean, that has happened. You think, okay, this is beautiful, it's going to work. And then you look at it in different browsers, like say Firefox, Safari, Chrome, IE, and you're like, okay, now we need to go back and maybe rework some of these things. So one of the things I suggest on top of Ben's list is you look at your content in several browsers to just look for compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ben, we're out of time. Can you believe how fast this went?
I know.
Well, you know, it's just so much content, such high content. tell people where they can find you again, and we are going to be offering it's a free webinar. We're going to be covering all of this and a lot more, and it is going to be on February 26th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Is that what we decided, Ben? Eastern?
Yeah, you got it.
So the 26th of February, we'll put a link back here on Blog Talk Radio. It will be on both of our websites, and of course, we'll put it out on social media. So Ben, tell people where they can find you.
You can find me at internetgenius.com or connect with me on Facebook at bencope.me.
Great. Well, listen, everybody, thank you for being here, and the show will be available for download in about an hour. And you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in my name, Denise Griffiths. So this is Denise Griffiths and the Internet Genius, Ben Cope. I love that. I just love that. I'm going to say it again. Internet Genius, Ben Cope, wishing you a wonderful weekend. It's Mardi Gras here, so pray for me. And I will see you next week. Thank you.